Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is Matthew 13, and I will not reread that part of the text again, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In the verses of our that are omitted from our reading, Jesus tells us why he is speaking in parables. He says in verse 13, that is not included, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." Here ends that part of the reading. This is quite technically Jesus fulfilling the words spoken by Isaiah the prophet, not the ones we read tonight, but from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. For Isaiah tells us in the Old Testament reading that we heard tonight that God's word always accomplishes the purpose for which it was given. Right? Remember the text? "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven," I know we haven't had a lot of rain, but we can remember. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This is why the Christian and the Christian church must structure all things around the revealed word of God. We dare not follow the desires and feelings of our sinful hearts or the whims and wants of this world. It is also one of those frustrating parts of Scripture. I want to think every time the word is proclaimed, faith is strengthened, people are given faith who don't have it, and everyone finds comfort in the forgiveness of their sins. And yet Jesus tells us, by just telling parables, that that's not always the intent for every single person. The fact that in Matthew 13, Jesus doesn't say anything except in parables for five straight parables tells you not only is he sharing the gospel, but he is sharing judgment all at the same time. We don't want to be those who don't hear or don't see, and yet the world will scream, "Here's what he's saying. Let me tell you, it feels great. You'll love it." And I know it is more pleasing to speak about the word rather than to speak the word. Why, speaking with confidence in truth and the word of God is just plain arrogant to so many people, particularly those who have no faith. If I just sound biblical or churchy when I speak, that'd be great. This is exactly what the sinful flesh and the world wants. It's perceived as more loving to speak about the law rather than to call sinners to repentance. It is even less troubling to speak about the gospel rather than proclaim the total reliance on Christ for our salvation. In fact, I was subjected to a sermon just last year when I was on vacation where the pastor said, and I quote, "You all know the gospel." And that was the gospel. if I took serious my confession of sin tonight, as you do, then that's not enough for me. It never can be. Because I'm crushed by the law that shows me my heart, that shows me my sins, that shows me that which I want that is contrary to what God wants, because His way is higher than our way, and His word is better than our words. And He calls all, be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect, and yet we aren't. And if we actually want to get to heaven, we need to hear how that happens, and hearing it just once isn't enough. Because the world will come and tell you, it just doesn't matter. God loves everybody. God is love. And their view of love is the world's view that says, whatever I do, you have to accept because you love me. But you see, if you really love me, you'd correct me when I'm wrong. You wouldn't help a delusional person stay in their delusion. You wouldn't tell a sick person, it'll be fine, you don't need to go to the doctor. You wouldn't have somebody cut off their hand and say, you can grow another one, don't worry about it. At least that's how I feel it works. Right? That'd all be insanity. We want to treat the sick and infirmed because we ourselves are the sick and infirm because of sin. So rather than talk about the law, we hold the mirror of God's law right up to our face and we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. I've sinned in thought, word, and deed, things I've done that I shouldn't have done, and things I didn't do that I should have done. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. You must remember, everyone is catechized in this life. They're either catechized by God's words or by Satan's. There's no neutrality. Thanks be to God, we've had godly parents, godly pastors, godly friends who have seen to it that we have heard God's word. That it was spread. That the seed of God's word was scattered wherever humanly possible like a crazy farmer. Because that's what's described in the text, isn't it? What farmer doesn't work up the whole soil he's going to put the seed in? Bob, you've done some farming in the past, right? You just go out and spread the seed on the carport and on the driveway and out in the field and hope something happens. Won't be farming long you do that, right? That's city farming, right? And yet that's how God spreads His word. And it's not the seed's problem. It's perfect seed. The problem is the soil. And that's us. And as we confess today, we're the hard path and the weedy path and the thorny path. But when the waters of baptism been applied to us, we are made the good path. When the absolution is declared to you, you once again are made the good path. The good soil. When you receive Christ's body and blood in with and under the bread and wine tonight, again, your sins are forgiven, and that which is hard and full of all kinds of deceit and weed is made good again by the grace of God and the gift of faith. You see, contrary to what the flesh desires, Jesus didn't die for our mistakes or our accidents. He died for something far weightier than that. He died to forgive us our sin. Sin is a much more significant issue, for sin clings to us with a death grip and can only be removed by putting it to death. So the parable of the sower is a wonderful example of dying and rising anew every day as Jesus speaks of the necessity of his own death and resurrection for the benefit of all people. In John's Gospel, John records Jesus saying this in John 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus now is the first fruits of the harvest that continues even now. And we are grafted into Jesus through his means of grace. So let us dare not forget that Jesus had earlier told the disciples in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The seed is good seed, and it will sprout and grow. And as Isaiah stated, it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. We, however, are often tempted to give up the task of sowing when we don't experience the growth or success that we envision. To encourage us never to give up, St. Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. How can Paul speak so confidently? Because he knows that God provides the harvest, not us. He provides the seed, he provides the growth. So let us look at our parable. This is one of the easier ones to tell you what it means because Jesus tells you what it means, which is always fun because when he doesn't, I'm going, oh, hope I got this right. Right? He explains it. The kingdom comes in an unspectacular and vulnerable way. The seed is scattered, the word, and it can be devoured and it can be scorched and it can be choked. The failure is on the sinful flesh, the soil, not the seed. The seed is the word of God. Man is responsible when confronted by God's word and guilty when he fails to receive it. Therefore, we need to hear the stern warning that Jesus says at the end of the parable. He who has ears, let him hear. Luther has a warning of this when he speaks of the difficult of all kinds of about the difficult soil, as he says, many of us imagine that when we listen without benefit to the preaching of the gospel, no great harm has been done by us or to us. And we forget the solemn truth here taught by the Lord that in such cases we have been actually under the influence of Satan. Many are willing to lose a sermon for the sake of some petty earthly gain or amusement and forget that here also the devil has successfully tempted them to take this course. The subsequent disregard of watchfulness, prayer, and a careful use of the means of grace combined with a less than in-depth self-examination after receiving the truth leaves our faith in peril. Like the hard path and the rocky places and the thorns in the third case are a copy of the corruption of the human heart. As the cares of this life take our focus off Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, Lord, have mercy on us sinners. To all of us today, Jesus strikes dead our sinful heart's desires to believe that we provide the growth. As he tells us the parable of the sower, which gives encouragement to faithfully sow the seed, as the plentiful harvest will follow, even as it seems that some seeds have been squandered. What did Paul say in Corinthians? I planted, Apollos watered, but it is God who gave the growth. How did you learn it in confirmation class and the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe that I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. And then we go on to confess that, well, this is how it happens for me. We then say this is how it happens for every Christian. As it says, in the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers, that on the last day he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. And then every Lutheran says, this is most certainly true. That means when your evangelical friend says, when did you decide for Jesus? You simply say, well, when my parents had me baptized. Jesus did the work. Are you a born-again Christian? Yeah, I'm born from above, just as Christ has taught. You're not lacking a thing. And while their veneer may look holy, they have taken some credit for their salvation. And that takes glory away from God. And it takes ease and comfort away from you, because then you always have to wonder, did I do enough? Did I do it right? But the beauty and why I became a Lutheran is I don't have to ask those questions, did I do enough? Did I do it right? I simply have to know that Jesus died on the cross and he did enough, and he most certainly did it right. And he rose again on the third day, declaring life in it eternal to all who believe in him for their salvation. So scattering the seed of God's word will always provide a plentiful harvest, because God always provides the harvest. The heartrending part is, because of the different types of soil that occur in our heart, some of the very ones we love the most, maybe those who completely reject the seed. But again, that's not on me. It's not on you. It's on them. The lesson for us today is clear. The blessing of the kingdom comes through the seed, God's word. And the word tells us that Jesus died to forgive our sins and rose again on the third day, declaring salvation and eternal life for all who believe. The parable of the sower then is a wonderful lesson of Christian life, which is one of dying and rising anew every day when Jesus. Those of faith need not fear the last day, because believers have been grafted into Jesus through his means of grace, through the word, the water, and his holy food, and joined to Jesus, we are made good soil. And Jesus said of the good soil, as for what is sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Thanks be to God as we continue to live in the field, that the harvest has not yet come. There is still time to sow the seed, still time to be fruitful, still time to hear again, though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Your sins and my sins are forgiven, because Jesus died with our sins and rose again with our salvation. May we, by grace through God-given faith, always be the good soil that Jesus speaks of, that hears the word, that's ears of faith, that understand the word, having scripture interpret itself, and that in faith lives the word, serving God by serving their neighbors. Let he who has ears hear. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.